Good evening, and welcome to Valley Voices, where we bring you conversations covering all things local, from news, politics, and government, to culture and community issues that are relevant to Lehigh Valley residents. I'm your host tonight, Margaret McConnell, the Executive Director here at WDIY. Joining me tonight is Bethlehem Mayor William Reynolds. Thank you for being here tonight.
It's great to be here.
Tonight, we'll be hearing from Mayor Reynolds on the city's transportation plans and some other initiatives that might be in the works. Let's start with transportation. So there are multiple proposals and projects in the works to improve transportation in Bethlehem. What, in your view, are some of the biggest issues around the city that need to be addressed?
It starts with just the culture, I think, about how people get around. And, you know, one of the things that we're constantly thinking about is how can we create a more walkable city, a city where it's easier to bike, where we reduce car trips for both safety reasons and also just like the general vibe and culture of the city. As I think people, a lot of mistakes were made in the 20th century when it comes to transportation. And, you know, we created this culture of transportation that's very individual, that's not very systemic. And you see the effects of this in neighborhoods. I mean, when you have streets that are designed for cars to basically dominate the space, dominate the energy, drive too fast, as I said, it's not just a safety issue. It's also an overall culture issue for the neighborhood. So we really start with, like, what are the areas of our city where it is walkable, where it is bikeable, where people enjoy moving around? I think we've also been to those big cities or been to other places where you can walk 7, 8, 9, 10 blocks and it doesn't feel stressful. It's an enjoyable walk. And that's the goal, is to be able to create a city where people are able to move about in a way where they don't necessarily need to drive all the time, and they're able to get from point A to point B to point C in a walkable or bikeable or sustainable way. So I think it's that overall culture of transportation that's like the biggest issue. Beyond that, it's obviously, as always, is like, do you have the resources to do these things? And I think people often point to, you know, having the money to be able to pay for some of the infrastructure improvements you want. But it's also a time issue. I mean, there are people in City Hall, you have engineers, you have planners that need to do the work. And that becomes an issue for us. But we're really excited. We've made a lot of great improvements in the city. And we have a couple that are coming that we think are going to be transformational.
I love that you mentioned culture. Often when I travel, either to Europe or even New York City, I walk a lot, like you said, and I come back and I say, why don't I walk that at home?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that restaurant I want to go to isn't that far.
Yep.
But it's just, it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah. And it's also like the direction of your transportation. And, you know, we're talking about transportation, but parking is a big piece of this. Mm. And when you really like kind of break down what your experience is, it adds to people's frustration. It adds to people's stress. It's not good for the environment when people are like driving around looking for a parking spot. So it's the second part of this. It's not just transportation, but how do you design a parking system where you're encouraging short-term parkers in a place and encouraging long-term parkers in another place, which not only has environmental benefits, but it has huge, huge, huge personal benefits. Because an example I always use is Music Fest. Nobody cares where they park at Music Fest. They don't care if they're 9 blocks away. Maybe they Uber down. Maybe they carpool down. Maybe they walk down. They bike down, because they know there's going to be so many people there, so they have no expectation that I'm going to get the perfect parking spot. And it's one of those things that adds on to that stress and adds on to those expectations that when we think we have to go somewhere, it's what you're talking about right there. It's like, why is it that some trips are enjoyable? Mm-hmm. Like you're driving and you're like, I'm going to my friend's house. I know there's a place I can park. Or I'm like, I'm going to pick up by my friend and we're going to go this 3 miles and or whatever it is. It's a 25-minute trip, but it's not going to feel stressful. And we're always thinking about how do you try to work on transportation from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. So one plan is to create a pedestrian bridge between North and South Bethlehem, which I think is a great idea. Can you talk about why that project is needed?
Yeah, a lot of people in the community, and you know, I always start with the idea that, you know, we and I don't come up with all the good ideas in the city of Bethlehem. And one of the things that we do is we listen, though. And, you know, we completed a study that was run through the city about the feasibility of a pedestrian bridge. But that really came out of conversations about people in both North Bethlehem and South Bethlehem about what a pedestrian bridge would mean for our city. And as you reference other cities, when you go to other places and you see and you think, why can't that? Is that something we can do in our community? Last year, I think it was when we finished that study about the feasibility of this. And like, that's always the thing too, as I always say, is like, it's easy to have an idea. It's hard to have a plan. And there are some logistical challenges to building a bridge from North Bethlehem to South Bethlehem. You have railroad tracks in South Bethlehem. Where do you necessarily start the bridge? How do you go over the railroad tracks and things like that? But we came up with some different ideas in there. The challenge of the pedestrian bridge is going to be the cost. Mm-hmm. And in that feasibility study, you looked at a couple different options, and all of them were between $60 and $80 million.
Wow.
So it's like everything else. Like, you need to start with what are some real numbers, and then you think about what are the potential state or federal opportunities. Federal government has been investing in infrastructure in the last couple of years at historic levels. So the next thing that we'll continue to keep our eyes open about how necessarily to look at potential funding sources. But I always pride myself in being honest, is, you know, that could be a challenge to come up with the funding. But even just the process of putting something like that study together, the community conversation, I think is incredibly valuable, because we're thinking about how can we create this thing for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not how do I create this thing for myself. It's not about what do I want. It's how do we create this thing together. That is hugely beneficial to everything that we try to take on in the city.
So let me ask this about building a new bridge. You can walk from the north to south side over one of the existing bridges.
Yep.
So what makes a singular pedestrian bridge such a great option to look at?
That there's no cars. And I think one of the things that people that walk and bike a lot talk about is that the size of cars, the speed of cars, the weight of cars, they just dominate the energy of that transportation. So obviously they have safety mm-hmm. reasons, but also, as we said before, it's the culture. It's a culture issue. Mm-hmm. And then also there's a symbolic value as well to connecting North Bethlehem, South Bethlehem, two places that have historically had a divide, obviously a divide physically. But if you look at the history of our city, there have been cultural divides, there have been ethnic divides, they have been, you know, South Bethlehem is where you had your first generation immigrants moving to work at Bethlehem Steel. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, South Bethlehem was its own borough before the unification of the city of Bethlehem in the early 20th century. It has a lot of value in different ways for connecting the community, as well as the obvious safety issues that you're no longer having, you know, 10 or 15% of this bridge, and you're crossing or you're biking or you're walking next to cars that are going, you know, 30, 35, 40 miles an hour.
Right. It's like when you're sitting on the hill-to-hill bridge and you are stopped and you feel it shaking with all of the traffic. It's kind of unsettling to be walking on that bridge. So this stage of this project is just the study has been done, and now you need to find the funding.
Yeah, and sometimes that funding, you know, it comes up out of nowhere where you have some type of grant opportunities. Sometimes it takes a while, but, you know, it's something that we're going to continue to look for.
Right. So another project that's made big news is the Broad Street Active Transportation Plan. Can you give us an overview of that project?
Absolutely. That's one of those projects I talked about that's going to be transformational. For a long time, Broad Street has been one of the streets in Bethlehem that, as I say, was built for cars and not built for people. And if you look at transportation in the 20th century, it was centered around this idea is how can we move cars as quickly as possible? And obviously nobody wants to sit in traffic, but what that ends up doing is it has real effects on what these neighborhoods are like. You know, what goes on with these businesses, what goes on with these homes. And Broad Street is a street that I believe just in the Bethlehem Area School District, there's like six different schools that kids cross Broad Street, both on East Broad and West Broad to get to school. Yeah. Mm. So one of the things that we have been talking about for a long time is how do you turn Broad Street from a street for cars into a street for people? And then a couple years ago, we actually, we applied for Safe Streets for All funding, which was a outgrowth of the infrastructure bill that Congress passed in 2022. And last year, it was December 23 when I got the call from Secretary Buttigieg that said that we were one of the only cities in America that were awarded our grant amount, and that was $10 million.
Oh, wow.
So what that's going to mean is starting at First Avenue, going all the way to Pennsylvania Avenue, about a mile and a half, you're looking at dedicated bike lanes. You're looking at streetscape improvements that involve enhanced crosswalks, so they're more noticeable, but also bump outs that then shorten how long it takes you to be able to cross. One of the other things that's included in this funding is a citywide, essentially a bike study, is like what are the other streets? What are the other areas that you're able to make improvements to? So we are super excited because this $10 million that we're going to get to basically transform Broad Street, in my mind, is also going to kind of be the model for how we can create a modern street that allows for safe walking, safe biking, in a way that we've never done before. We don't have any dedicated bike lanes like that. You go to other cities and sometimes you see it where essentially the curb allows for the biking between the sidewalk and the curb, and then the cars are parked on the other side. So that's going to be the type of thing that's going to give us an opportunity to transform those neighborhoods over in West Bethlehem. And the people are super excited about it because they know how dangerous Broad Street's been for too long.
And what about the businesses along that corridor? How will this improve or affect their...
Yeah, it's going to increase the vibrancy and it's going to increase the walkability. And, you know, about 6 years ago, I had helped to create an initiative on the north side called Northside Alive, which is centered around like William Penn and Thomas Jefferson Elementary Schools. But part of that idea is like, how do we connect those neighborhoods to our downtown? And part of the Broad Street project is how do we connect West Bethlehem and those neighborhoods, the avenues, to our downtown to be able to increase the amount of people that are there, that are crossing, that are walking, that are biking, and things like that. So you're going to see more foot traffic. You're going to see more people that are going to be able to get to those businesses and really just kind of improve that commercial corridor. You have a lot of businesses here and there between, say, about 8th Avenue and 1st Avenue as you get downtown. It's going to create, I think, some enhanced foot traffic. If you talk to people that live over there, Market, Prospect, Union, North Street, they oftentimes are like, yeah, we stay off Broad Street because it's not safe to cross. We don't want to go to the parks on the other side. We maybe don't want to go down to the Rose Garden because we can't get across. So it's just going to be able to create a safer neighborhood, more enjoyable, more people walking around, which is good for business too.
Yeah, I'm going to make a really bad joke, but Broad Street is very broad.
It is. It is by nature. It's just, I mean, if you look back at the origins of how streets were named, like why did they name it Main Street? Because it was the main street. It is. But yeah, Broad Street is entirely too broad. Once upon a time, there was a trolley that went down the middle of Broad Street. So it was a little bit less. It was a little bit less broad if you had that in the middle.
Yeah.
So there's also going to be some areas of West Broad Street that are going to have some medians there too. That'll help to kind of like narrow the street, cut down on speed, and create, as I said, a street for people, not for cars.
Yeah. So how have community organizations like Lehigh Valley Planning Commission assisted in this project?
Yeah, that. So what happened was our Broad Street application, we didn't get the first round of Safe Streets for All. We got the second round. So we didn't get the initial end of 2022 funding. We got the money in 2023, or we got the award in 2023. Part of the way that we got that award was because of our incredible amount of support from the community. So you had the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, you had the Bethlehem Area School District, you had a Coalition for Appropriate Transportation, you had a bunch of different nonprofits and community groups that wrote letters that said this is going to be a good thing, that we are in support of this. But you know, I always give the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission a lot of credit because I mean they're on a regional level trying to have difficult conversations, because it's always difficult when you're trying to do something that is beneficial to everybody and maybe like some people say, well, that's not going to help me out. And the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission is like, how are we going to plan a region for the next 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years? And people often, I think, mistake that about my job is like, we're not just making decisions for 2024. Like, we're not making decisions for like what I'm looking for. We're making decisions for what's the best thing for the public good and for the community for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. And the last thing I will say about that is I'm sure you talked about going to other cities. I think we all go through some places sometimes and you're wondering like, how did it get like that? Mm-hmm. Like, when did that happen? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not that people are nobody's making intentionally bad decisions, but the 20th century entirely, and you know, there's been a lot written about this, about New York and other places, that the reliance on building streets and roads and cutting through neighborhoods to move cars was a negative thing for people wanting to live in cities. And we're trying to unwind that.
Mm-hmm. So you've received the federal funding.
We have. We're working on it. The way a lot of these things work is they become reimbursable. So you spend the money and then you get it back. So right now we've been having meetings, I think, every couple of weeks with the federal government about the reporting and things like that. We're doing some of the initial engineering. And then our goal is to break ground early in 2025.
Okay. And are you seeking other funding for this, or is the federal going to cover all of it?
The federal funding is going to cover almost all of it. They always require some type of local match, you know. So one of the things, but like the local match and the Broad Street funds actually oftentimes is like can be like labor. So like your city workers, like your engineers doing that and things like that. But we're always looking on other funding sources out there to be able to help to enhance it. And the exciting thing about Broad Street is, we got this $10 million for West Broad, but we also got through the assistance of State Rep Samuelson and State Senator Buscola almost $1 million to work on East Broad from Center Street all the way down to Elm to be able to do some of the similar type of things with a streetscape improvement, because that was something that came up in our Northside Alive community meetings. So the whole Broad Street corridor, which is going to run across the entirety of the city of Bethlehem, hopefully will be the type of thing that when someone goes to a place he's visiting, you're like, wow, this is nice. Mm-hmm. This is a nice place to walk. Yeah. This is a nice place to go.
So how does this address equity? And you talked a little bit about it with the North and the South Side and the divisions that were there. How do these improvements accomplish equity?
Yeah, one of the things they do, and we're always thinking about this, is, you know, we are constantly searching for how do you make it as easy as possible for people to live and to get around. And the more walkable, the more bikeable, the more neighborhoods you can build that have what we call like those live, work, and play ideas. Like, does every neighborhood have a grocery store? And this is one of those examples, is that, like, you know, a Bethlehem Food Co-op is going into East Broad Street and they're going to open later this year. So the idea of putting that placement of that grocery store in these areas that some of these neighborhoods have families that are, you know, fit into what the income guidelines are for low to moderate, increases those opportunities. So we want to give as many different opportunities for people to be able to get around. But also what it does is it raises the stakes on what you do in one place. And I mean this as like an accountability thing. People then say, what can we do over here that's similar? What can we do over here to be able to cut down on traffic? How do we create walkability? How do we increase our sustainability? And, you know, Broad Street has several neighborhoods there that have individuals who fit into those income guidelines that are low to moderate income. But streets are owned by everybody. Like, you know, that's the wonderful thing as well, is like public spaces. And, you know, we're big people on, you need to think big and you need to invest big in public spaces. Obviously in South Bethlehem, one of the ones we have is the Bethlehem Greenway, which we are working on purchasing the last part that will actually connect Saucon Park down there into Lower Saucon and Hellertown. Mm-hmm. So that issue of equity, people often think it means we're making sure that everybody is getting what they need, which is true. But in our mind, too, it's raising the stakes to say, like, we need to make public infrastructure improvements that once upon a time people were willing to make in America, that we want to make in all of our neighborhoods. And that's not traditionally, I think, how local government has always worked. I think oftentimes, you know, you've seen resources go to some of your highest value neighborhoods and people are like, I want to get my street paved, or we want a new park. And then everybody shows up to a meeting or everybody emails. And we're thinking like, no. Let's look at where the issues are, transportation and otherwise, and let's make investments in those issues. And we're only able to do that, though, because we have support of so many community organizations that are like, yes, this is the way you get to systemic inequities in America.
Mm. So how did Broad Street become the target for improvements? I mean, I think it's kind of obvious if it's the biggest city street and it's going all across Bethlehem, but how did it get on the list? Has it been on the list for a while?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, like a lot of things, this has been an issue that people have talked about in Bethlehem for a long time. And if you grew up in those neighborhoods, and I mean, I've been in Bethlehem my whole life, but even people that have moved from other places, they look at it and they're like, I don't feel safe here. And it would be great for people to do something about it. So, but also Broad Street, and this often happens in grant applications, is the consistency of the issues throughout all of Broad Street. If Broad Street was like a quarter mile, it probably wouldn't have been as enticing of a project for the federal government to look at as like you can do a mile and a half. And there's two, you got Union Boulevard and you got Broad Street, which are the two real east to west roads in West Bethlehem that have all of this different traffic. So, you know, when we took a look at that, we thought this is a great application for that Safe Streets for All program because of how much work it needs and because of how long it is. And that's the type of project that if you didn't get like a $10 million grant for, it would have taken us 20 to 25 years probably to get that funding because you're spending $500,000 a year or something like that. So it checked a lot of boxes for an opportunity.
Mm. And I'm assuming you're anticipating that this is going to create more foot traffic into the downtown and Main Street.
It is. It is. And in both directions. I think it also is, you know, going to create, you know, foot traffic going through our downtowns, which is fine as well. So if people in West Bethlehem want to find a way to get over to the co-op, they can. If they want to find a way to get over to that part of Broad Street, you know, we haven't talked about it yet, but I mean, we're looking at Linden Street and Center Street, which are one-way streets going back to the Bethlehem Steel Days, which are ones that people in those neighborhoods are constantly talking about, are also unsafe for children, also unsafe for walkers and bikers. We're trying to create more accessible and safer, you know, individual transportation, walking and biking in all areas of our city. So yeah, it will bring people downtown, but it'll also bring people out to those neighborhoods as well.
So you mentioned that they're starting with the engineering in 2025.
Yeah.
How soon will residents see changes along Broad?
The way these projects often work is, you know, you'll see some of the improvements before others, but I think the majority of the project should be completed in 2025. So we're going to see a lot of the enhancements there. It really, people often wonder, why don't projects operate quicker? And it really comes down to often just like how many people you have that you can dedicate to working on it. So in this case, it's going to be redoing a lot of the curb cutouts, the ramps there, which is just a whole set of people having to do the engineering there. And then you bid out the project and then you have to do the contracting and then they come out and they do it. If the weather's bad and you're trying to work with UGI to minimize how many times you're out there in the neighborhood, our goal is to have the majority of the project completed in 2025, which sounds like far away, but it's only 5 months away, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it completed early in 26.
Awesome. So moving off of Broad Street,
yep.
Bethlehem recently completed the Beth Connect trail study. Can you talk about that study, what it found, and what the results will be used for?
Yeah, so we have a lot of wonderful trail opportunities here in the city. But if you look throughout the Lehigh Valley, there's a couple of holes. I had mentioned earlier, one of those holes for us is that the Greenway kind of ends in Saucon Park. We're working on being able to purchase that last piece to be able to make that connection. Another big piece that we are working on that project's going to go on later this year is the trail that connects down to the towpath across like Union Boulevard there. So you know, we've done a lot of work to get from Ilk's Mill Road with that kind of like paved portion there to get over to Shanersville. And now we want to be able to complete that from Shanersville Road, like back through by Burnside Plantation, all the way down to get to the trail there on Sand Island, which is kind of like one of the big pieces there as well, that, you know, because there's a couple dangerous intersections there. Those are two big areas that we're focused on that we have grant funding for to be able to complete those projects. That would kind of complete the ability for people to, you know, take those trails across and through Bethlehem.
So how important is this plan to ensuring environmental sustainability and trail conservation for future generations?
Yeah, I mean, it becomes like a chicken or the egg situation. Is like you want as many people using these trails as possible. But once they start using, then they're also engaged in making sure that we maintain and preserve and things like that. You know, we only have so many city employees that have to do a lot of grass cutting. They are the same ones that are paving the road, same ones that are fixing water main breaks and things like that. So coming up with this trail system that people are able to use and be a part of to be able to get around is a huge part of kind of the future of our transportation here in the city of Bethlehem. But we're trying to, and a big part of our climate action plan, which we haven't really talked about, is that idea of reducing car trips. And, you know, most people are probably going to have a car going forward. You're never going to get to the point where you're like, I never have to use a car. But it doesn't mean we can't reduce the amount of car trips and the amount of vehicles we have on our roads. And one of the things that people also get confused about sometimes is there's so much traffic in Bethlehem, or there's so much more traffic than there used to be. There's a lot more people in the Lehigh Valley than there used to be. And we have had so much economic activity and we have so many jobs in the city of Bethlehem that have come here in the last 20, 25 years. Not all those people live in the city of Bethlehem. I was at a event the other day for Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, LVDC, and they were talking about how 100,000 people come into Lehigh Valley every day to work. And they're coming from Carbon County, they're coming from Berks County. Right. And those people are getting here some way and they're driving. And it is important for us as a region to think about mass transportation, to think about transportation. And one piece of that is trying to reduce how often you're driving in Bethlehem if you can.
Mm-hmm. So within the last few months, it was also announced that ArtsQuest received funding for pedestrian streetscape improvements outside of their planned cultural center.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that plan?
Absolutely. So that area there between Broadhead and New Street has been an area where we have been focusing on pedestrian safety as well. So ArtsQuest was one of the applicants there to be able to increase the walkability in that area, kind of right before you go up the hill towards Wyandotte. So we're looking at some other funding there. Also, as we're working on finishing that part of the greenway on the other side of the street to just make it easier for people to be able to cross and just, once again, some enhanced crosswalks and things like that, enhanced streetscape stuff. We did a lot of that on New Street. If you're ever on New Street there and like you're going up towards 4th Street, similar type of situation as far as like how we're going to enhance that streetscape.
Yeah. There's, I think, even a plan to make Linden and Center Streets two-way. You talked about that a little bit earlier, that they're both one-way streets.
Yeah.
What about that? Where is that in planning?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been one of those issues, too, that, I mean, the city's been looking at for 20 years, I think, at least. You know, a lot of people know that Linden Street and Center Street became one-way streets to help with the inflow and outflow of Bethlehem Steel workers when you had thousands and thousands of people coming at the same time every day. But, obviously, we haven't had Bethlehem Steel for 30 years. People in that neighborhood, especially in Linden Street, around Linden Street and Center Street, have talked about how those streets, which, as I said before, are built for cars, not for people, they just destroy the energy of the neighborhood. It just, you know, it's when you have streets where you have cars that drive fast, and it's interesting, they have different problems. Linden Street doesn't have a lot of traffic, so then a car just looks forward and cars just speed down the street. On Center Street, you have a lot of cars, and a lot of cars that are moving through Bethlehem. They are choosing Center Street as their way to get from Lower Saucon out to Hanover Township, or how to get from somewhere south of us, and they don't want to take 378, so they're just going to cut through the city and they're going to take Center Street to get out to Hanover, East Allen, or Bethlehem Township or something like that. But Linden Street is, our goal is to do that next spring because that's a little bit shorter. It's only going from Fairview down to Church Street there, but that's a big part of Northside Alive. That's a big thing some of those businesses have been looking for. Center Street, we don't have a timetable on, but we're looking forward to do Linden Street and delivering on what the neighbors have talked about over and over again over the last several years in those community meetings.
Anything else you'd like to add in the minute we have left?
Yeah, I just want to thank people in Bethlehem. I think one of the things we've seen over the last 5-10 years is we've had a lot more people that are talking about walkability, that are talking about bikeability, that are talking about how to get around the city. And that's really, I think, influenced not only our work in City Hall, but other organizations and having the confidence to spend the time to get the grants and things like that. It's definitely been a culture change. You have a lot more people now that want to be able to walk, that want to be able to bike, that want to be able to use their cars less. And it doesn't matter what the great people in City Hall or the great council people want to do if it's not coming from your neighborhoods. And I have to thank so many people out there that have been the advocates for this, whether or not it's Coalition for Proper Transportation or others, people within our arts community that have talked about like how you get around Bethlehem has a big effect on the overall culture. And we've made a lot of progress because people have been so enthusiastic about supporting some different ideas about how to get around.
Well, lots of great things happening with transportation. We're about out of time. It goes fast.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Mayor Reynolds, for being here tonight and sharing what's happening in the city. If you would like to listen to this program again, please go to the website, wdiy.org, or the WDIY app, or your favorite podcast or smart speaker platform. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell. Have a great evening.